Welcome to the weekly podcast from the Church of England. This week we hear from the consecration of the first female diocesan bishop, Rachel Trewick, who'll take up her post in Gloucester. Also this week we hear about a new group set up to look at ways of getting more people to explore ministry. And we find out about a church painting that was the subject of a BBC television programme and has turned out to be worth quite a lot of money. But first, the new Bishop of Gloucester has been consecrated at Canterbury Cathedral. The Right Reverend Rachel Trewick is the first female diocesan bishop, and she was consecrated along with the new Bishop of Crediton, Sarah Mullally, by the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. The new Bishop of Gloucester talked about her role after the service.
I feel just elated, really excited, full of hope, and just so privileged to feel that Jesus called me to follow him in this way. And just being surrounded by all these people from throughout my life is really humbling.
The Archdeacon of Gloucester, Jackie Searle, and the Archdeacon of Cheltenham, Robert Springett, were both at the service.
I think that's been the most wonderful service. It's because, you know, for such a long time, we have waited to see women bishops, and to have the first female diocesan bishop, and she's ours, is just absolutely wonderful. I couldn't stop smiling, apart from the time when I saw her come up through the choir, and I felt so emotional that the tears came at that point. Just absolutely wonderful.
Just an enormously moving, joyful, and extremely hopeful service. And yes, enormously significant that it is the first woman diocesan bishop in the church. But I've worked with this process right the way through, from discerning the gifts of our new bishop as we were searching for them, and just really seeing that in Rachel and recognising that here is the person that God has called to come to our diocese with the gifts that we need at this time.
And you can see photos of the ceremony for both bishops on the Diocese of Gloucester and the Diocese of Exeter's websites. A new group has been set up to look at what needs to be done to encourage more people to explore ministry as a vocation. It'll be chaired by the Bishop of Guildford and has started as a result of some of the reform and renewal work on resourcing ministerial education. Catherine Nanskevel has taken over the new role of Head of Discipleship and Vocation for the Church of England. I spoke to her about the role and started by asking her what a vocation is.
I think your vocation, firstly, is an expression of your unique call for how you live your life. Because there's a primary vocation for all Christians, for how you live your life. Not just, you know, you going to church on Sunday, but how that's expressed in your work, your spending, your home life, and what you do with your time. But there are also some people who are called to particular vocations, and they're roles that the body of Christ, the church, needs in order to thrive, like a reader, a youth worker, or a priest.
So why the sudden focus on vocations now?
It's always been part of the job of the clergy to be looking and spotting people with a particular vocation. But I think the work done around RME brought this into renewed focus. And it's not just about the very large numbers of clergy who are due to retire soon, but it's also about us enabling individuals to grow into what God intended for them. So, for example, I've got a friend who first heard a call to ministry about 20 years ago. And she's a fantastic woman, but she just didn't feel like she had something to offer. And so she waited. And it was really only because of the care and the mentoring of the vicar that actually she's now put herself forward and she's now in reader training. And I think there are a lot of people out there who are waiting. And I think there are barriers. And I think if we put a call out there saying, you know, actually, you know, listen to that little whisper of the Holy Spirit, listen, and we will encourage you, then, you know, now is the time for those people to come forward. And if we can be encouraging discernment and removing barriers, I think we'll see a flourishing of vocations in the Church of England.
Now, that's really interesting you should say that, because just last week I was filming with two people who are being ordained this weekend.
Right.
One was a former army. And a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is a steam engine driver.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them said to me, when I said to them, tell me about your calling, oh, it was 20 years ago. And I just ignored it. And I said to one of them, why do you think it is that people ignore it? And he, Craig, said, I think that they probably think like I do. Why me? You know, why would God be calling me? Now, that's a difficult challenge for you, because if people are thinking, oh, no, I should be ignoring this, why would it be me? How do you get over that, do you think?
I think some of that is about the people around them. Spotting that in them, because God isn't just talking to them and saying, you know, maybe you should step forward. There's also messages going to other people. And so it's just encouraging people to actually, you know, to people who are in leadership roles, to say to those people who are on their hearts, actually, have you thought about this?
So trying to catch them a bit earlier than waiting for 20 years. Why is it important to the church, do you think, that we get a hold of this and we encourage those people?
I think it's really vital. I think the responsibility for the mission and ministry of God falls equally on all the people of God. There aren't any part-time Christians. So it's not just important that people come forward for ministry. It's important that all people have an understanding of their vocation. But the ministers and leaders, they're the equippers of the rest of us. They point the way, they guide us and feed us both through the sacraments and in teaching. And so without enough people in these roles, I'm a sailor and I like sailing. And I think it's a bit like if God is our skipper, then the clergy are our tiller. And it's possible to steer a boat directly, you know, with a hold on the rudder, but it's a whole lot easier with a big tiller. We need those people equipping us and supporting us and encouraging us.
You mentioned a little bit earlier the Resourcing Ministerial Education Group, mm-hmm. which is obviously part of the reform and renewal programme that's going on at the moment. And my understanding is that that's not just looking at getting people into to be ministers. It is the whole range, and it's trying to show the importance of every role within the church. Is that accurate?
Yes, absolutely. We need people who are leaders and ministers and people with expertise. You can take an example of Church of England schools, and the head teachers of those schools are the spiritual leaders. You know, how are we equipping and growing those people from within the Church of England? And roles, you know, like a diocesan secretary, you know, where how do we grow those people? How do we help people to listen to a vocation to those sort of roles as well?
And of course, lay ministers as well is a really important role that RME is looking at, how to bring through and train those people.
Yes. And when I say ministry, I'm including lay ministry in that. That's all ministry. I think there are just different ontological flavours, if you like, of whether it's lay or ordained.
Some people might say, isn't this just another talking shop? This all sounds really great, but, you know, is anything actually going to happen?
No, I hope not. I'm a person who likes to get things done, and so is Bishop Andrew. So I think it's unlikely, as long as we have the resources and the will of the church.
So talking about your role, and you mentioned Bishop Andrew, the Bishop of Guildford, how are you going to work together?
Well, he's chairing the Vocations Working Group, so he'll be offering leadership to that group of people who are going back into the diocese and being champions of this, as well as bringing their expertise and their knowledge back into the Vocations Working Group. So I'll be working very closely with him on those meetings and on the work that flows out of them.
Going back to talking about ordination, what advice would you give to someone who felt they were being called?
Pray first, but talk to people, read, write, and that will be the start of your journey. But also, I'd really encourage people to get into the system, if you like. You know, talk to your vicar, your vocations advisors in the area, because these are people who have helped guide lots of people through this process to lots of different ends, and there's no pushing of people who aren't right. It's all about exploring with people what their vocation is and helping them listen to what God is saying to them. So don't be afraid to kind of get on that system. It's not a conveyor belt. Get in the system, and there will be people there to help you with your journey.
A BBC television programme has revealed that a painting in a Lancashire church is a Renaissance treasure worth at least £100,000. Experts on BBC One's Fake or Fortune looked at the painting from St John the Baptist Church in Tunstall, North Lancashire. It was painted by the Italian artist Francesco Montemisano, who was a contemporary of Titian and Tintoretto. Presenter Fiona Bruce and expert Philip Mould spoke about the find.
Well, in terms of restoration, now speaking as an art dealer, I mean, it was an extraordinary transformation and on a scale that really is pretty well unmatched.
What we've managed to do is establish that it is a Venetian painting. I mean, Philip, you thought from very early on that it was Venetian because of the style, because of the colours particularly. It was filthy and dark. We've gone back to the late 16th century. We knew, because of the style of it, it wasn't quite good enough to be in the Tintoretto, Veronese, Titian level, so the Premier Division, if you like, of artists. Well, it was actually thanks to an Italian scholar that we came across who plucked a name like a rabbit out of a hat, really, as to who we thought this artist might be. It was not one that we were familiar with, was it?
No, it wasn't. And what was really exciting is the process of cleaning this picture, and I think it comes over very well on screen, was also just a process of getting to know a hand, an individual. And although Venetian art is awash with major names, you know, some of the greatest names in our history, like Titian and Tintoretto and Veronese, you know, there are a level below individuals who are capable of great feats of artistic distinction. And I think one of the great exciting points of this programme is we've plucked out from obscurity not only a name but an individual who deserves a little bit of recognition.
And that name is Francesco Montemisano, who is an artist, an Italian artist who painted in Venice and the Vinitos, that's the area around Venice, in the late 16th century. Very interesting character. He lived a short life. By all accounts, he died from a life of excess. He is, according not just to us, but to the reputed scholars of this country and of Italy, he is the artist of this painting.
And the really wonderful thing is this painting was designed to hang in a church, to tell a story, to communicate itself to a congregation. And now, 400 years later, cleaned in this church, with any luck it'll do it again.
And you can still see that episode of Fake or Fortune on the BBC's iPlayer. Finally this week, a Liverpool primary school has visited the Archbishop of York as part of a week's residential trip to the city. It was suggested by Father Daniel Howard, who's a school governor at Pinehurst Primary School in Anfield, after he said the pupils had lively discussions about faith in their classrooms and assemblies. Here's a little taste of their day.
This is a group of children on the residential week in York from Pinehurst Primary School in Anfield, near Anfield Park football ground.
We are here today to sing three songs for the Bishop. Amazing Grace,
You'll Never Walk Alone, and This Is The Day.
Wanted to do is to tell people about Jesus, and this gives me a great opportunity to talk about Jesus. I had no ambition of becoming an archbishop. My ambition was always to tell people about Jesus.
Children from Pinehurst Primary School in Liverpool there. That's it for this week's podcast. I'm Gillian Moody. Thanks for listening.